broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, that is so right. Our silence will not protect us. And that, of course, is a quote from Anne Rind. Just thought I'd give credit where credit is due, and also to ask you and remind you to awaken the Azoth Dua. That is that ancient commitment that we've all become a part of. And a good evening out there to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a hearty hello to all of you light workers, you seed sowers, you truth tellers, you avatars, and of course our listening spirit and space force rangers. Shout out to all you scholars out there as well, all of you diggers and your memers, the work of whom is not for sissies. We welcome you here to Empathic Channel. It is Monday, April 1st, 2024, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. Our goal today, as it has become our habit, is to help folks with an empowering assist on the road to owning your own experience. I am your host and Empathic Channel, Leander Grace, and the connections are clear. The pipes are wide open. The view of it all, I'm looking forward. I'm looking past the junk. As I look past the little junk that's right in front of us, the directly things that we do need to handle, the look past the junk is really quite spectacular. We just have to get through some of the challenges before us and clean up some of the things behind us. I reckon that there is change going on so many levels, and we as inclusive, of course, we're blessed to be able to share with you all today, and we do and continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace while the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. People are waking up to truth. People are seeing it. It's an exciting time to be alive, not always in a good way. You know, there's some hard jobs, and when you're done, you're like, oh, man. And then, you know, in retrospect, it's like, you remember back? Yeah, that was exciting. Ooh, that was bad. Yeah, but that was exciting. You know, it's keeping it in context so we don't let our emotionals get the runaway from us. So it is an exciting time, although albeit sometimes interesting, it is an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing. And the reason I spend a little bit of time kind of explaining, if you will, that little bit about it being an exciting time to be alive is God's still moving. You know, we just came through Purim. And although on the surface, it may not have looked like God was at work, but God had his hand in all of it. And when we think of it in those terms, it becomes exciting to think about it in these very same terms. Remember, there's going to be some turmoil to wake the last little bitty people up there, and everybody matters, and you know, we want them to wake up too. So a little bit of housekeeping before we get a little farther on. You know, we went ahead and expanded the lineup. It may or may not stay. Now, tomorrow night I had planned on doing some interlocution on our Tuesdays, but Donald J. Trump is going to be doing some rallies, and I would much rather listen to him than listen to me. I want to hear what he has to say, because I kind of know what I got in my brain. So I want to hear what he has to say much more than what I want to hear what I have. And so I thought I'd do that. So again, you know, on Monday nights we do readings. We do have folks in the queue to get to right off the bat, so I want to go ahead and say hello. I noticed you already, and we'll be saying hello to area code 805 here in the quickliness of it. But I want to give a little bit of information about the readings before we get too far into it. And for those of you who want to call in and talk to the host, we'll give you a little bit of guidelines on what it is we do with the readings. We rely on Holy Spirit. That's where the vision, that's where the hearing, and that's where the knowing comes from. The gift is from Holy Spirit. It's not something I conjured. I don't know that I could ever do that. So for those of you who are wondering where the source of my gift is from God, and it's through Holy Spirit. And I am your host and Empathic Channel, Leander Grace. And we're going to take a few calls and a few questions and see if we can lend and assist here on Empathic Channel. We're part of Holistic Truth Nazarene Network, where we watch for signposts and help you connect the dots and see if we can find your path amid the distractions. We do that. We do that here, right, and enhance our own learning experience, because we do tend to set up a few little roadblocks for ourselves, and then we, some cases, we get our mental blocks out and start playing with them. That's always fun for a period of time, but as we learn how to really live in real life as one in our total greatness, as a body of Christ, a body of believers, and as nations, and just the, us as humanity as a whole, inclusive, of course. But here on Empathic Channel, it's just compassionate wisdom and readings, offering salt with the gift. Hopefully there's wisdom. You'll have to decide. And then, of course, the readings, a bit about them before we get too far along into it. Simply put, readings are guidance from spirit. There is a spirit in man, Job 32:8 tells us, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So we do take all the calls in the studio. And I trust my soul guardian team to take care of all the filters and the translations. That's sort of how it works. It becomes a conference call after a little while. And being Holy Spirit connected, let me tell you a little bit physically how it might feel. Let me get a drink. You may need to re-listen to the broadcast after you get the information. You're going to understand everything on the air, and then you're going to forget it. That's just part of having a spiritual connection. Sometimes you have to go back and listen again, because there's a caught upness, what my listeners and folks have told me, there's feeling of caught upness where you're kind of thinking along the same lines. Don't let that disturb you. That's part of the teaching mechanism that the guardians use. And it's a really good tool, and it's not necessarily something to use daily. And I do want to say a little bit about that. Been going very strong, been loving it, been going every day. And it, you know, if my empathic channel part of my brain, because it's a different part of my brain, whether it's logic or intuition, they work together, but one is taxed more highly than the other, depending on what I'm using my brain for. And so there was a week or two, actually a 2 week period, where I had to really be empathic and telepathic, for lack of a, well, that's actually what it was, use some of the borderline telepathy gift that God has given me to communicate. And it took its toll. I mean, because there's a rebound effect, you know, just like anything else. If you get a big physical workout, you got to take some time to rest. And I was going to say rest and regurgitate, but that's not what it was. It's rest and recuperate. But sometimes it takes a little bit of that regurgitation too. I don't know. That's what I heard. Don't know myself. So I thought I'd say that. But no, the guardians say expound upon that. Yes, sometimes this gift, when used hardcore and in intensity for extended period of time, can make my physical body ill. It feels like a virus sometimes, or maybe I'll get a migraine, or usually the migraine is from something else. But there is a physical portion of this gift, and when I use it in an intense manner, as is necessary sometimes, then there is a rebound and a recuperation time and a resting that needs to happen. When I'm just doing my rational stuff, it's not so bad. But, you know, when it's fun, but when I have to do the intuitive and do it in a level of intensity and keep it at that level for an extended period of time, then it does take its toll. So I've had some naps. I've enjoyed them. I think my nap times may be coming to an end, but I tell you what, it's been an interesting time. So how does this work? Well, the guardians say ask a question, get an answer. Guardians love questions, and so do I. We're also here to have fun, because laughter is good medicine. And if you hear me giggling a little bit, I'm not laughing at you so much as the mirror of myself that I see and the irony in the phone call. So be aware of that I'm not going to laugh at my callers, but I'll giggle a little bit because the shadow process is just a reflexive thing. And for those of you who remember Deborah Ford, you'll be familiar with the shadow process. Let me get a drink. I'll also look for those teachable moments, the calls that reflect maybe a pulse of global questioning, because there is a pulse. There is a, it's a hundredth monkey theory. You know, there is a pulse of understanding. And when there's a lot of discord, those who are empaths like me, they feel uncomfortable, they get a level of confusion, perhaps they mirror back the intensity and the frequency of what's coming at them. So sometimes it's not always easy to read what's going on with the empath and the telepath. If you know one, you know. If you know one personally, then you understand that sometimes it's a matter of who felt it first, and it's not always easy to sort that out. So you can ask questions from the chat room as well, but it's a little more difficult for me to get to them. I can read them and reflect back, but it's a little harder for me to work in the chat room than it is on the phone, so because I can't talk and type at the same time. All right, so let me go ahead and go. We got some topic to get to also. Don't want to neglect that. We are going to talk about our topics, and we're going to talk about the topics that are empathy traps, and there's a whole bunch of things that can be qualified as empathy traps. It's those things where our emotions have got us into a corner, and the only way out is someone's going to get hurt. It may be us, it may be them, it may be a whole group of people, but we find ourselves in the middle of an empathy trap. We're going to talk about the entrainment and enmeshment and how it makes us vulnerable to going along to get along, and some of the things that that also can do. Let me go ahead and clear my throat. We've got this drying desert air coming up here as we change seasons from the winter into the spring. And as things blow, you know, during the March Madness and into April, there's a lot of wind that comes through the high mountain desert, and a lot of different dust from a lot of different areas land, you know, on the doorstep, and the dryness makes it a little difficult. So I may have to take a few sips more often than usual. Just bear with me on it. And we'll go immediately to the phone lines and area code 805. I'm going to go ahead and bring your microphone live, area code 805, and ask you for your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Donna in California. How are you?
I'm doing good, Donna in California. How are things going with you?
Oh, money's kind of a problem, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. Yeah, there's
bringing more money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hit a wall going down into my apartment, and my insurance went from 80 to 250 a month.
Oh, my Lord.
I've never
that
had
is
a
quite
ticket.
The jump.
I've never hit another car. It's just a very narrow passageway to get into my carport. Oh.
And then you hit a wall. Oh, man,
yeah.
There's all kinds of layers of meaning in that and some kind of a lesson somewhere. And then I hit a wall. So what can we do for you, dear?
So, yeah, the Holy Spirit is just amazing. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel such joy when I know the Holy Spirit's working inside me and stuff. That's when all the joy comes from, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lovely, yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, wanted to know if you see me meeting someone. I'm all by myself. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I'm 70 now, and I would like to find a companion, you know, someone to.
How did the visits to the museum go? I was thinking about you just yesterday, believe it or not.
Thank you. I didn't end up going to the museum.
Now see, this is where the guardians are saying they gave you really good advice and you didn't follow it. And so what they would like you to do is on Thursdays, I even remember the time, they're reminding me just as if we had the conversation yesterday, Thursdays at 11 a.m., start making that a habit. That didn't change.
They
may have accounted for shift, who knows, but but they're saying remember Thursdays 11 a.m. at the museum, start making it a habit, and you will meet someone.
There's a modern art museum, there's a natural history museum. I don't know which one.
The one that interests you. Because, I mean, if you're not interested in one, you know, who wants to meet that person? Because they're going to want to go to that museum.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. So go to the one that you want. And you're more of the history, right? You're more of a history buff. So, yeah, if that's what interests you, go there.
Okay. Yeah.
11 a.m. on Thursdays.
Okay.
Very specific time, very specific day. And it's a rarity. That they do that. But they want to remind you, yeah, 11 a.m. on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well.
So how's the book writing going?
Okay, little by little, you know, writing things. And, yeah, I had a dark night of the soul once happened to me. It was about 20 years ago. And I just, it's really weird. And then I read a book by St. John of the Cross about the dark night of the soul. It was like
I'm familiar with the work. I haven't read it myself, but I've read authors.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's the different levels of soul, the soul. And, you know, I just feel like my soul is purged. And then that's when I went through the tunnel. And then I remember being all adorned. And then I felt all this tremendous love. It was unbelievable.
Isn't that something? Yeah. That's something. Holy Spirit will meet us where we are and show us what we need to see to get us where we need to be. I just made that up right now. It's not copyright or nothing.
Yeah.
You can use it. Yeah, there you go. But I can't even repeat it now. But it's true. I mean, Holy Spirit will help us. And it doesn't always, just like, you know, in the book of Esther during the time of Purim, it didn't look like God was helping, right? It didn't look like God was on the scene, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, there was a big price to pay, but self-defense came and the whole thing turned around for a whole nation and a people. And not even the Persians self-destructed. That's how much of a miraculous thing it was that God did. Nobody self-destructed except the ones that wanted to do bad things. So, you know, Holy Spirit will be there. And again, the guardians want me to remind you, 11 a.m. on Thursdays, museum of your choice, but pick one and stay with one, the one that interests you, and you will meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not usually that poignant. It's not, you know, I don't get days and times usually, and I certainly don't remember. Yeah, so this is pretty significant, Donna.
Okay.
And I'm remembering almost everything about the call, the last call, and that's unusual as well. Well, maybe not that part.
Wow,
because,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go 11 o'clock on Thursdays.
Do it. Yeah, give us about 3 weeks or 4 weeks on that, and then give us a call back and see how you're doing.
All right, I'll do that. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you for calling
in,
Donna. You have a good night.
You
too. Outstanding. You know, Holy Spirit does that. Holy Spirit will pave the way, and it doesn't. It's not always a smooth road, and sometimes there's a wrecking crew in front of our spiritual growth, in front of our spiritual path, and you know, and when I was talking, you know, I talked to God about this several times, and I've taught about this too. So that, let me get a drink. Even in the introduction, for Empathic Channel, you know, we want to remind the listeners that many times we bring about subconsciously, whether we know it or not, and Holy Spirit and God is usually in the works with it, but we'll go ahead and step in a mess and cause a situation that requires us to fix. I know of a gentleman in particular, who he is isn't necessary. It's a personal relationship. But this gentleman that seemed to always make these wrong decisions. And it was that he was completely entrained on ideas, completely enmeshed in a way of thinking. Now, we're not going to talk about entrainment and meshment in that way. And I lost my train of thought, so maybe I'm not to share this particular story. But let's go ahead and move on, because the Holy Spirit just said, no, let's go ahead and move on with that. It's a little too close. So empathy traps. Let's talk about those. Empathy is a reflex. I know that modern-day psychology wants us to be empathetic towards one another, when in fact I believe the appropriate word is compassionate towards one another. But empathy in its truest form is a reflex. It's an energetic reflex that manifests itself emotionally. Let me say that again. Empathy is an energetic reflex that manifests itself emotionally. There's a degree of entrainment that may or may not occur during empathy. This isn't traps. This is just empathy. And I've described it before, and you might have heard it even on this last call, the emotional sine wave of the call. And there's always a frequency. There's always a wave of problem and ideas and possible solutions. And then the relief wave is what I call it. It's like, oh, okay. And then everything kind of calms down and there's that relief frequency that's felt. And you can hear it and you can feel it. You can hear it in the voice and you can feel it in the air. Another thing with empathy is that if we spend our time watching a lot of angry programming, then our habits of response will become angry as well. And train, or copycats, we are. If we don't have proper boundaries or we don't exactly know who we are and where we stop and the other thing, you know, we try things on, and see if they fit. And I'm talking about being Mockingbird, like, you know, copying trends and fads and stuff like that. Try it on, see if it fits, you know. But entrainment is a little deeper. And enmeshment is even deeper and more complex. When we've heard the term before, birds of a feather flock together. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It cuts both ways. You know, we think of it in terms of, oh, I know what kind of person you are because you hang out with those folks. Well, that's not always the case, and you're getting a snapshot of it, and you don't know the whole story, and there's a lot more to things. And I explain things this way because we're going to start talking about jumping to conclusions when we get to the end of this little presentation. So with empathy traps, again, let's do some definition. Empathy is a reflexive, energetic reflex that manifests itself physically. Sympathy, conscious decision to act in a certain way. Compassion is usually the overriding empathy, overriding our common sense, not always bad. Okay, so and empathy should, in cases of humanity, override our common sense. And what I mean by common sense, our common sense is to remain stoic and publicly presentable and be this image of whatever and not crack. Well, in fact, the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to bring, you know, the funeral of our fallen officer, Jonathan Diller, whose last watch was March 25th, 2024. The emotions that were felt in that crowd and observing that crowd, that was empathy. That was empathy. If you were watching the unfolding of the funeral and you were moved to tears, that was empathy. Those who were standing with them not only had empathy, but they made a decision to be sympathetic and stand with. That requires action. And it's their compassion that moves them, because empathy overrides our senses and it blooms in compassion. This can be a good thing. This can be a bad thing, because there's also the risk. And I'm going to get this at the top of the hour, because it's going to be a repetitive tattoo that we have in all of this. And that is with empathy traps. I just lost my train of thought again. My goodness. Entrainment and enmeshment. It can be good and it can be bad. Empathy and sympathy. It can be good and it can be bad. Our compassion is displayed when our empathy overrides our common sense to be in the back, or whatever it is. It overrides everything else and we're moved to compassion. It's a good thing or it's a bad thing. In that it can be a bad thing is that there are errors that we can make out of compassion. A lot of times when we feel for someone, we're literally feeling for them. We can imagine ourselves in their shoes and how we would feel. Here's the thing. We're not in their shoes. And what they're feeling with all of their history and all of their stuff, what we're feeling with them has more to do with our vision of what's going on than their vision. Understand that there's a place where they start and we stop, but that does not mean that we do not share in empathy the loss of a loved one, the loss of an officer, the loss of trust in the system, the loss that we are all experiencing that's symbolized in the very outpouring of love, compassion, and sympathetic support for our fallen officer. So compassion's a wonderful thing, but an error of compassion usually will result in excuse making, cover stories. It looks very much like codependency. So being compassionate is wonderful. Having empathy and being compassionate is wonderful. But we need to beware of errors in compassion. And what do I mean by that? Say you have a friend who is stuck in a cycle of whether it's crime or whether it's alcoholism or drug abuse or something else that's self-destructive, in a self-destructive pattern. What we will see, and I'll bring this up to the other part, is a repetition of creating situations that they need to solve, even if it's a destructive situation, because there's positivity after the fall and rebuilding oneself. That's when there's positivity. So errors of compassion look like bailouts rather than holding one responsible. Errors of compassion look like giving that alcoholic the drink rather than taking them to a meeting, which may not be as easy to do, but it is certainly more compassionate to do. And it's also compassionate when your empathy's moved and you'd want to see him not suffer anymore, to give him a little nip so he's not shaking himself to death. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a medical condition with that. But if we're bailing out the bad behavior, then that bad behavior will not change. I'm going to say that again. If we're bailing out the bad behavior will not change. And we find ourselves emotionally caught up in an empathy trap, whether it's from over-identification or making errors in compassion or whatever the case may be, it all comes down to entrainment and enmeshment. And we'll talk about those in depth when we come back from the other side of the break. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to be getting some edumacation going on in here, a little bit of a teaching, as it were, about entrainment and enmeshment. And we're going to talk a little bit about the political stage, too, because there is some entrainment and enmeshment that is causing us to remain defensive of the indefensible and excusing the inexcusable and inferring many things without information. All those things that can cause our psyche and our ability to make rational choices fall apart. Let me get a drink. It is very, very dry in the high mountain desert. And I know a lot of people are going through a dry season themselves. See how I did that? I just segued all of that in. But I have faith and I have hope, and I have I see past the turmoil. I can see past, not through all of it. It's not like a magic trick, but it's like if this then that, if this then that, and what I see, what the Father's showing me, is a good outcome. There's going to be some bumpiness between today and the good outcome, but all of the bumpiness is going to be necessary to help us grow into those things that we need to grow into so that we can do what we all want to do, and that is make America great again. Understand that these empathy traps are not just personal. They're not just one-on-one. They're not just something that each of us as individuals go through. But this happens on a local and community scale. This happens on a regional scale. It happens on a state scale and a national scale. And if we're not setting proper boundaries for the right reasons in the right ways, and we're being overly compassionate, making errors in compassion, then we're going to have some problems. We're going to find ourselves in an empathy trap. And it becomes very difficult to get out of, not just because of the choices that need to be made, but because of the healing needs to happen on the other side when we realize that we were entrained and enmeshed in perhaps the wrong thing. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I think we're going to listen to, it's going to be about 4.5 minutes. It's a little lengthy, but we got some dry air. And I want to think about the garden and the corner and all of that. And I want us to remind my listeners to help each other out. We're being brought to our knees. And I'm going to say this. It seems as though we're being brought to our knees. And in this regard, we may be going through a period of Purim where we cannot see the hand of God working. We have to use faith and know that it's going to be okay, and prayer and fasting and giving it to God. But what we're called to be also is ambassadors of relief and remind each other by our small kindnesses and by lifting one another up and supporting one another in healthy ways that we show each other the corner of Eden. This is Kathy Tricoli, Corner of Eden. I love this album. I believe it's the Corner of Eden album. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're talking empathic traps, empathy traps. Specifically, entrainment and enmeshment, we're going to talk about the delineation of those, how they work on a large scale, small scale, on a psyche scale. I'm talking about your little brain working, not psychic, but psyche. Corner of Eden by Kathy Tricoli.
Troubled heart, Jesus, it's your voice I recognize. And whenever I felt lonely or about to fall apart, you've shown yourself in someone's gentle eyes. And though this world may sometimes feel like it's a desert land, I've seen your flowers growing in the sand. I could weep at the thought that along my winding walk, it's your grace I keep on receiving. You're the light shining gold, making gardens in my soul.
Your grace, I keep on receiving. Your grace.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, our silence will not protect us, and our empathy traps won't protect us either. But I tell you what, they become really good teachers, and that's what we're going to try to talk about today. Some of the things we can learn about entrainment and enmeshment, and some of the places we might find ourselves today, not just personally, but on the world stage. And interpersonally and that, and we're going to talk about them a little bit. I am your host, Leander Grace. Welcome back here to the second half of Empathic Channel here on Holistic Truth, part of an Netstream network, broadcasting live from the high mountain desert on Blog Talk Radio. Lots of stuff to say, just getting my vocal cords back from coughing through the break, so I thought I'd banter just a little bit. So entrainment and enmeshment. Now, let's talk about entrainment first. The easiest way to describe it is if you could imagine a guitar string being plucked. It plucks at a certain frequency. Now, if we could sustain that frequency for longer than just, you know, when friction starts to slow it down, if we could maintain that frequency, you would find that the other strings would begin to vibrate also at the frequency of the string that you just plucked. Another case in point, when there are a collection of chimes and collection of bells that are going together, and this is all frequency and timing and periodic and cycles and things of this nature, very, very rule-oriented, very physics laws oriented things here, and if you start clamoring them together, eventually they will start going at the same time, and then they'll go out of frequency, and then they'll come back into frequency. I was going to have an example of it. I didn't upload it, didn't think about that. And so the entrainment is the tendency of one item to become like another item in the presence of that item. Now let's talk about people and their dogs, right? We're entrained on one another, and we tend to dogs and owners tend to look like each other. They're similar in appearance. They become very much lookalikes, not exactly, but very much so. That's an entrainment. A husband and wife that have been married for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, an old couple walking hand in hand, their gait becomes the same after a period of time because they're entrained. That's a good entrainment. That's a good enmeshment. We want that entrainment and enmeshment in those bonded relationships. So entrainment is becoming like a thing in the presence of that thing over a period of time by accident or design. Everybody picks up the same buzzwords, birds of a feather flock together, for good or for bad, a good flock, a bad flock. But the people who are similar and alike, they kind of hang together because they get one another. And then there's a degree of enmeshment, right? There's going over to the houses and, you know, raising each other's kids, so to speak. There's a communal part of it when we're talking about families and communities and things of that nature. And this is when our boundaries are good. You know, boundaries make good friends and fences make good neighbors. And it keeps us from being over-entrained, over-enmeshed in those things around us that have absolutely nothing to do with us. Case in point, there's certain programs that I like to watch, but I can only watch so many of them before I start, you know, it's an exposure issue. So let's talk about it in the negative sense, when our sense of compassion, begins to run in error. In those cases, with entrainment and enmeshment, we can call entrainment and enmeshment communal protections, whether it's a family community or a social community, a city community, a nation, you can expand it out exponentially, and fractals, if you will. But what happens when we're enmeshed to the point or entrained to the point where we no longer look out for what's right and wrong. We start defending things that are indefensible. And I'm talking about now let's move to dysfunction. Now let's move to the other side of the coin where this, where the entrainment and the enmeshment really takes its toll on the growth of a community or an individual or a nation or a state. Because there comes a point where loyalty, when we're not making proper choices and setting proper boundaries, where our loyalties might be stretched over the boundary of what's right. And then we find ourselves enmeshed in whatever picture is before us, and we begin ourselves defending the indefensible so that we are not shamed. I'm going to use the case of incest in a family. That is probably one of the that's so horrendous. The act itself is horrendous, and yet it's kept quiet, and it's defended, and the blame is shifted, and everything gets screwed up. You say, well, yeah, but that's a screwed up family to begin with. But that screwed upness never happened in a vacuum. Okay, so we have to understand how this enmeshment thinking starts. And then when we find ourselves in these predicaments being defending the indefensible, then we start excusing the inexcusable. And I want to take our attention to this budget agreement that came up. Was it what we wanted? No. And I was just listening to the speaker on one of the programs a little bit earlier. But there were a lot of things in there that weren't necessary. And because of the balance and the way the votes are and stuff, things were put in there that maybe not everybody wanted. That's true. But what I want to speak to are the ones that are asking for things that they had no business asking at this time and holding everybody for ransom for it. You got what you wanted, but are you going to enjoy it? Because I tell you what, I'm going to remind you a lot of what you put everybody in this nation through, because you wanted to have your special little thing on that bill and you weren't going to let it go forward unless you had your little piece of candy there, and you put great pressure on the rest of the House and the rest of everybody else to get things signed so we didn't have to shut down. A lot of people would have been hurt if it had been shut down. I was reading the thing, and I was reading all the things that would have been hurt had we had to shut down. You say, well, we'd been here before. Not at this level. Where we're at now, we have not been. Where we find ourselves now in the political arena, we have not been. And where we find ourselves now, where they're excusing an open border is inexcusable, we have not been there. And defending the indefensible of running over our troops at the border, you know, my goodness, I don't know why they didn't shoot. That's my opinion. It was probably best that they didn't. But they certainly have the authority, whether they exercised it or not, choosing great restraint, they have the ability to shoot. Are we going to be taken seriously at the border if they're going to be allowed to run over our troops? And then people are excusing this inexcusable thing because they are totally entrained on bad policy, completely enmeshed in excuse making, and they're defending the indefensible, they're excusing the inexcusable, and they are inferring things without information. Let me get a drink. And of course, clear my throat. I mean, they may know what the truth is, but they're not telling the truth. I was watching the White House press secretary. A direct question was given, a circle solid thing of policy rhetoric was returned. Someone's responsible for the border, and it's not the legislature. It's the executive who's refusing to act. Somebody's responsible for the invasion at the border, and it's not the state of Texas, who is trying like hell to find a way to defend not just the state but the rest of the nation. And it's not, it doesn't fall on Arizona or New Mexico, who's, well, New Mexico, yeah, you kind of wishy-washy on the New Mexico. It's a sanctuary state, after all, which is illegal, unconstitutional, and otherwise a very bad idea. And they're inferring, we are inferring, we continue to infer without information, because it's very hard to get that information. What information? Who's coming in and where they're going. And so we can only infer that they're bad guys on the way to bad places doing bad things, and no one's paying them attention. And I do want to say this, you know, about inferring without information. And there's a lot of hullabaloo about what went on Easter and all of that. And I want to say this about that, you know, the I guess, trans visibility day, they're in our face all the time. They don't need a special day. That's my personal opinion. If they're going to be like everybody else, be like everybody else. You got a birthday like everybody else. That's kind of normal. And you say you want to be normal, so why do you need a special day? It's just a question. I don't want to infer without information. And it would have been, I think, in my opinion, a lot classier for the administration to celebrate Easter on Easter and postpone the celebration of the secular holiday till a secular day. That seems like it would have been reasonable. And I'm sure a lot of transgendered individuals would have been fine about that, except the ones who are absolutely lunatic and frothing at the mouth, rabid over their own insecurities and want to be in everybody's face. How much attention do they need? Really? So the other thing I want to say is that what went on in the White House had nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with the resurrected Savior, nothing to do with that, and had everything to do with Ashtaroth. That's what it had to do with. Everything having to do with the mythos of Ashtaroth. So I thought I'd put that out there, showing the true colors. If you're going to be that color, Joe, might as well be that color, and don't pretend to be some other color called Catholic. Because evidently you don't know what that means either. It's a good title, but I don't think you know what it means. It doesn't mean bunny hopping. So that's all I have to say about that. It was established before the Easter happened to fall on that day. But there was a choice. He made one. And now we see what that is. We see what's been chosen by the regime. It's very familiar to what was chosen by the Obama regime, who undoubtedly is backing this one who can't put two sentences together. Are we going to defend this indefensible stuff? Are we going to continue to excuse this inexcusable behavior? Whether it's at the border or whether someone is, you know, being behaviorally inexcusable, you know what I mean. That we have our choices. Are we going to defend it? Are we going to excuse it? And about inferring without information, that becomes very, very dangerous. When we infer without information, then we start defending something that may not even be true. We start defending something that may not even be a lie. We start going. And so, again, you know, seek first to understand rather than be understood, and that'll keep us from inferring without information. You know, some folks have heard me laugh at different things or do that. You know, there's not enough information. I want to say a little bit about my gift as well. There's not really enough information that people have about my gift and how it works for them to properly infer what some of my reactions are. Understand that, how can I say this without sounding like it's excuse making or defending, but I'm trying to explain for a comfort level for those who have seemed to have been uncomfortable. Is that the question is my gift always on and am I always reading? Oh, God, no. I would have to sleep half the day in order to have it on all the time. It takes its brain toll. It takes its energy toll. And so I choose not to have it on all the time. And the only thing that triggers it is inauthenticity. I will have a reflexive response to inauthenticity and wonder why I feel that way. So in essence, there is a mirror feeling. And if I'm up against with someone who is disgusting, I'll start feeling disgusting and I'll want to get away. Or I'll start having some of the disgusting thoughts that would never enter my brain start entering. It's like, whoa, where's that thought coming from? And it has to do with the other person being broadcasting, practically broadcasting intentions or inauthenticity or hidden agenda. And those are, it's the complexity that triggers the gift. And even then, most of the time I ignore it, because what people are complex about has absolutely nothing to do with me and is none of my business. And it's that level of discipline that I've had to achieve to keep boundaries up. Intrusive emotional displays, you know, from affecting me, because as an empath, what needs attention gets attention. And so it becomes a discipline to ignore those things that that scream the loudest. Sometimes let me get a drink. So excusing the inexcusable. Now, that's on a larger scale. You know, we've been excusing all kinds of behavior that is inexcusable. It is absolutely inexcusable for New York State as a whole. New York State as a corporate entity, all of their laws are all screwed up. They have more laws on their books that I've seen in the small amount of time that I've gone looking through them. They have more laws on their books that are so against the Constitution, and yet they're exercising these rules under the color of law, whether they know it or not. Because why? We've been entrained and enmeshed, and we start defending the indefensible. And since we've been doing it this way for so long and nobody has put up a red flag, they continue to excuse the inexcusable and infer without information. And what I mean by that is people are inferring that the laws are just without looking at the laws. And if for no other reason, the outcome of all of this election interference, and that's all it is against Donald J. Trump, this election interference, legal pains and penalties that have been foisted upon him, especially in the state of New York, right? And basically they want to keep an individual, happens to be President Donald J. Trump, they want to keep an individual from being able to do business in a state. And that's anti-constitutional. You can't do that. Our laws say you don't get to do that to people. Remember, I said the law is what's going to save us. If we apply the constitutional law and weed out all the state laws that don't meet muster, we'll have a lot easier time understanding what should be, what any reasonable person would expect to be, was a consistent application of the law, not, you know, equal application of the law, equal protection under the law, but definitely consistent procedure under the law. Now, that doesn't mean all of the states need to have a cookie cutter stamp on them and all operate the same way, but they all need to pass constitutional muster. And if you're a sanctuary state, you fail right there. Doing under the guise of color of law and call yourself a sanctuary state and invite criminals and terrorists and give them aid and comfort and debit cards and housing, our money. We can't defend this indefensible thing. We cannot excuse this inexcusable thing and say that we're operating under constitutional law. And no, I understand that when we're playing football, okay, a little bit of TMI here, news you don't really need to know but can't get through the day is out. Dallas Cowboys is my team. Love me, hate me, doesn't matter. I'm not giving up the team. There's others too, but Texas Rangers and Dallas Cowboys, just in case there's any doubt. Now, that may be defending the indefensible in some cases, but then I digress. So if we're going to continue on this and say that we want to do better. And we want to have a nation that we are proud of and we can defend what's going on. We need to stop defending the indefensible and hold these people accountable that have crapped all over the Constitution of the United States. If you're a sanctuary state, you're wrong. If you're a sanctuary city, you're wrong. There is no constitutional law. There is no constitutional means. There is no constitutional path to becoming a sanctuary city. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with national security, something that every state is supposed to be providing, and the federal government. The federal government is supposed to move. If they don't, the Constitution states, and I quote, Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee in every state in this union a republican form of government, that means everybody matters, and shall protect each of them against invasion, occasion of the legislature or the executive when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. But see, it's way up here in Article 1, Section 10. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships in wartime of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless, big word, preposition, hello, unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit delay. And ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that Texas already knows this, and Texas already moved, and we need the movement of the federal executive. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. For those listening remotely, don't know who you are, know that you are. Thank you for joining us here this evening. I am your host, Leandra Grace. Until next time, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, connect these dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive and we get our butts out of these empathy traps. Until next time, good night.